plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Before the opening prayer this morning, we'll sing number 22.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tint his skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with his great might.
There is a God.
He is alive.
Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Dear Father, this Lord's Day, we're so thankful for being your children. Pray to Father that you'll continue to look over this world and that you'll protect us and that you will guide us safely in the paths that we should take. As we come to you this morning, dear Father, we ask that you'll be with the sick of our number. Comfort them, dear Father. Be with our sister Abney. Be with our brother Abney as he and his family look after our sister. Be with Shirley Calcutt, Mary Edwards, Nadine Rue, Kim Smith, Janice Baldwin, Teresa Grant, and all those who are in need of your healing. We pray to Father that you'll continue to be with Roy Darnell as he recovers from his injuries, and be with Gary Turnbull as he mourns the loss of his mother, and and be with him as he undergoes the medical procedures to make his physical life better. Be with us all, dear Father, from day to day, helping us to recognize that this life is only temporary. Help us to make the best of it, but more importantly, help us, dear Father, to do something to find a home with you in the hereafter. Be with us that we'll love one another more. Be with this nation, dear Father, that we may end the bickering that is so rampant, the hatred, the denial of facts. Help us, dear Father, that in our lives that we exhibit our Savior's example, to be kind to one another, but also to realize that the truth will set us free if we're willing to accept it. We ask it be with our brother Skippy as he brings forth the bread of life today and with all who are participating in this service, that we may bring honor and glory to your name in all that we do, for we ask it in our Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Before we take the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 330. 330. Why did my Savior come to earth?
To serve and partake of the Lord's Supper. This is a specific time that we have to remember Christ Jesus, to remember him and to remember what he did for each and every one of us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8, the Bible reads that God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Before us, we have two emblems. The bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross at Calvary, and the cup that represents his shed blood that was poured out for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father in heaven, it is truly an honor and a privilege that we have this celebration on the first day of each and every week. We thank you, Father, for the precious body of Christ Jesus, that was crucified on the cross, and we thank you that it is in him that we have redemption and eternal life. For it is in his name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let's now give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father, we thank you that we were able to be part of the blood that washes us, that takes away all our sins. We thank you that blood flows so freely, for we know that you are a forgiving God. Father, we thank you for your Son that died on the cross for us, that the sacrifice that he made it possible that we might be able to commune with you in this way. We thank you that the blood washes us so clean. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone was incidentally overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this time, we have another commandment, and that is to give, as God has prospered us to do so. And when we give, let our mind reflect back upon the cross. God gave us all that he had, and that was his only begotten Son. Let us pray. We are grateful and thankful, Father, for this privilege, for all of the gifts that you've given each and every one of us. Most important, Father, you gave us your Son, and we are so grateful and appreciative. We are honored and thankful to give back in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we give you honor, praise, and glory. Amen. Thank you.
Let us mark our songbooks to number 572. 572 will be the song of invitation this morning. 572. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 535. 535. Let us stand up to sing this one.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus said today, yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way.
Sermon titled this morning is It Is Time. And the scripture reading is taken from the book of Genesis. That's Genesis chapter 45, 25 through 28. I have the New King James translation. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Then Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Brother Skippy North.
Good morning. Again, God has been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to once again go into your word, that we focus upon your word and the things that it has to say. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Pray that you give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word the things that I say. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know today is Father's Day. And Father's Day can be a happy, it can be a joyous day, but it also can be a very sad day. Not everybody look forward to Father's Day. Maybe you have lost your father. Maybe your father was not there for you. Maybe you are a single father. But today I want to encourage you, and I hope that this lesson will be an encouragement to all of us who are here this morning. As we look at Genesis 45, I want to take from the subject, It Is Time, from verse number 28. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. As I was thinking this week on what to talk about, my mind kept going back to Genesis, and it kept going back to the story of Jacob. And this story, it helped me, because Jacob messed up. He messed up in more ways than you can ever think of. But yet God stayed with Jacob. God gave Jacob a second chance. God stayed with Jacob until Jacob finally got it right. But Jacob surely did mess up. You know the story, and if you don't, I don't have time to just fill in all the details. But just let me just help you just a little bit. I might remind you that Jacob started out from infancy, and he's trying to get by on the cheap when he and his twin brother Esau was born. Jacob came out hanging onto his brother's heel. And in other words, he's trying to get a free ride from day one in Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 26. But then as the boys grew up, Esau, he went out and did the hunting and the farming. But Jacob sat around in the tent. In Genesis 25 and verse number 26. And as the boys grew up, Esau, he went out and again, yes, he did the hunting, but also we need to remind you of Jacob tricking his hungry brother, y'all remember, into paying a very high price for a very little bowl of stew in Genesis 25. And verse 29 and 30. But then Jacob tricking his poor father into giving Esau inheritance in Genesis 25 and verse 31. But then do I need to remind you of cheating his own uncle out of the most of his wealth of Jacob and marrying two sisters in Genesis 29 and verse number 11. Treating one of them like trash. But Jacob was a mess because he was irresponsible. Not only was he irresponsible, he was lazy. He was hopeless. And too many of us this morning are like Jacob. Too many men, too many husbands, too many fathers have tried to get by on the cheap. Too many of us have hoped that our task would get done by somebody else. Too many of us have been Jacobs. But look out. This same Jacob, he met his match one day. One night, Jacob wrestled with a man all night until the break of dawn in Genesis 32 and 24. But yet, God promised him earlier, I am with you. I'm going to keep you wherever you go, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promise you. In Genesis 28 and verse 15, that's the same Jacob, trifling maybe, but chosen of God and a man of promise. I'm here to tell you, there is hope today for men, for fathers, for husbands who may be like Jacob. God is not going to let us go. God is going to deal with us until he has done what he wants to do through you and I. Now, as the years went by, Jacob fathered 12 sons. Now, that sounds good. It sounds like a blessing. What do you mean? Well, would this blessing help Jacob from messing up? Did the fatherhood cure Jacob of his ways? No, ma'am, and no, sir. Why is that? Because what does he do with his 12 sons? When you look at the Bible, he picks one out of them, and he makes him his favorite son. Joseph gets the goodies, while the others work out in the field. You remember how it ended up? How Joseph sold into slavery. Jacob enters his material years with his sons lost. Yes, his sons lost. All of them, one of them was lost to slavery, and the others of them are lost in moral situation. Because of his example, because of his irresponsibility, because of his foolishness, because of his stupidity, he lost Jacob. What an example of fathers today. But now, what was it that God said to Jacob? Here it is. Again, what had God promised this irresponsible Jacob? I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promise you. Again, that's Genesis 28 and verse 15. You remember the brothers? You remember? They went to Egypt. They had to go to Egypt to buy food. And when they arrived there, they discovered, of their amazement, their long-lost brother, Joseph. Joseph is now in charge in this place. The one that they had put out was now at the top of the heap. And so they returned to tell their father. And here where we pick up in Genesis 45, verse 25 through 28. What can we learn this morning? What can we learn about this story? Number one, brothers, it's time for the men and fathers to go to Egypt. It's time for us to no longer procrastinate. We need men who will step up, assume leadership, go with the program, do what's right. It's time for men who, without hesitation, with the Lord on their side, will do the responsible thing. And I thank God that we have some men and some fathers who would do just that.
It's time for us men and fathers to go to Egypt. It's time for us to make sure our relationships with our children and with our families is what it should be. You see, we got to understand, being a good father means just being a man, taking responsibility as a man, thinking like a man, working like a man. And all of these is important in being a father. And you will not be a good father until you be a good man. There are not many in our nation today, but thank God we do have a few good men in here. But we can always use a few more good men. And so as we look at this particular thing, I want you to understand that it's time for us to redeem our relationship with our children and with our families. I want you to notice Jacob, when he heard of his son, that he was still alive. Notice what he says in verse 28. That's enough. My son is alive, and I must go and see him before I die. Oh, it's time for some of us to go to Egypt and take the risk of reconnecting with our children. Some of our children have strayed. They've gotten into things that we are not proud of this morning, things we don't like to talk about. And we'll soon be like Jacob and think of them as dead. But listen to me this morning. If you got a son, if you got a daughter, and you lost connection, I tell you, it's time to go to Egypt. If you lost connection with your spouse, it's time to go to Egypt. It's time to approach that young man and admit you didn't do all that you could do. But this is a new day. It's time to find that young woman and confess that you didn't know what to do for her years back, but now it's a new day. It's time to approach that spouse and say, I haven't been the best husband. I haven't treated you the way that God would have me to. I haven't been all that I should be. It's time to go to Egypt. Whether we parents want to admit or not, our children often imitate us in life before they will ever do what we tell them to do. They will do as we do, rather than do as we say. It's time to go to Egypt. But then secondly, it's time to go to Egypt and let God do what God has promised to do. You remember when Jacob got ready to go to Egypt, he went first to the Lord. He offered his worship to God of his father in Genesis 46. And verse 1 and 2. But then in the Bible says that God told Jacob, notice what he says in verse 3 and 4. He says, I am God, the God of the Father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will be there, make thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. You see, Jacob found out that if he would just be responsible, go into the tough spots, that he won't be alone. God will keep his own promises. Listen to me, men and brethren. It's time. It's time to go to Egypt. It's time for men to stand squarely on the promise of God. claim them positively and forcefully. It's time to go to Egypt in the presence and the power of the Lord. It's time for men to give leadership in the church. It's time to go to Egypt and be God's men in God's church. It's time to quit sitting down on the pews of do nothing and let God do what God wants to do. It's time to quit sending our children and our spouses to church and start bringing them to church. It's time to lead by example, by getting here early for worship. We get to our appointments early. Am I right about it? It's time to step up and be the leader, be the man, be the father, be the husband that God wants you to be. It's time for us to model how to be a Christian, one that is all that he says and does, not only at church, but at home and on the job. It's time to model for our children good decisions, being a good leader, and our desire to put the Lord first in our lives. It doesn't matter what we do at work. It doesn't matter who we are in life, but what matters is that we live a right legacy to our next generation. We have too many men, it's sad to say, who is missing in action. It's time to go to Egypt. Put our resources to work in this community. It's time to go to Egypt and make a difference. Oh, it must have been quite a sight when Jacob set out for Egypt. Because notice what he took with him. Look at verse 6. And they took their cattle, their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. His sons, his daughters, sons with him. His daughters and his sons and daughters and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Y'all see that? He brought everything. What a try. Because listen to me, Jacob made a major commitment to Egypt. He brought everything he had to Egypt. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time. It's time for the people of God. It's time for us to commit major energies, significant resources to ministry, to technology, and witness in this community. It's time for us to forge ahead with the things that will matter in the lives and in this congregation. I'm talking about this Egypt. It's time to reach young people in here and out here on these streets with something solid, whatever it may be. We need to do whatever it takes to redeem Egypt. We're going to have to invest resources, mentor programs, educational programs, evangelism, health fair, career days. We have to invest in the future. And we got to start walking by faith and not by sight. Because God has been too good to this congregation. Amen? God is blessed this congregation, and we need to be making an impact for the Lord. I know we have been in the midst of a pandemic, but that shouldn't stop us from being what God wants us to be that light in this world. It's too many people are leaving this world not knowing Jesus Christ. It's too many people who are leaving this world, don't know the truth. We have the truth. but we keep it in here. The truth need to go out there. It need to be shared wherever we go. We got to understand when you walk by sight, it's short-sighted vision. Faith is God's vision. And my question to you this morning, what type of vision do we have at Ypsilanti Church of Christ? What type of vision do we have? Let's go to Egypt and let's take everything we have and claim this place for Almighty God. Men of Ypsilanti, it's time. It's time to step up. It's time to go to Egypt. There was a father once who looked out. He saw a needed world. He saw the fertility. He saw the pain. He saw the sin of the human heart. This father saw how an incredible, distorted his children had become. Was it the father's fault that they had turned out as they had? No one blamed him for it. He had been attentive. He had proven for them. He provided for them. It was not his fault. He might have just decided to go on a long vacation. And I'm going to escape this mess. I'm not going to deal with these children. This father could have done that, but he did not. Listen to me. The father who I speak of, he came down to his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him, but he still gave. He gave the best that he had. He gave his only begotten son. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He went to a cross to suffer, to die. He went to give himself for his lost and his wandering children. We ought to say thank God this morning that God saw fit to give his only begotten son. We ought to thank God this morning that Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could have a right to the tree of life. If God gave his best, can we do any less? We ought to be giving our best this morning because God left us here on this side of time of life for a reason. And you ought to thank God. You ought to thank God that you are alive today. And you ought to say, this is a new day. This is the day I'm going to Egypt and I'm going to claim this for God. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be the best leader. I'm going to be the best example that I can be because of what God has done for me. Men, brethren, and church, it's time for all of us to go to Egypt, to be what God wants us to be. This morning, as you're looking at your life, God already knows. Have you been doing your best? Have you been all that God wants you to be? Have you been that example that you should be? Oh, it's so easy to be a good example in here. But I'm talking about when you leave this place. When you are at your home, when you are on your job, when you are at the supermarket, are you being the example that you can be? Can people see Christ in you? You don't have to tell them I'm a member of the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. I'm a Christian. Oh, they're going to know it by how you live, by how you conduct yourself. But listen, one day, when it's all said and done, you're going to have to stand before God, and we're going to have to give an account of everything that we have done, whether it's good or bad. If you're here in a Christian, not been living as a Christian should. You're here now, you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's been good to you. He spared your life today. You've heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. Whatever the case may be, come right now. Don't put it off. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Won't you come?
Let us bow. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, first and foremost, God. We're thanking you for being the head of our life, Lord. Thank you for getting us up this morning, Father, right mind in our right mind, clothing in our right mind, Lord. We thank you, Father, for this day, Father, already, just being able to fellowship and worship and sing praises unto your name and hear another portion of your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, who came on this earth, Father, and died for our sins, Father. We thank you so much for loving us so much, Father, even though we don't deserve it. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you will continue to bless those, Father, who were mentioned this morning that are sick. Father, we ask that you will continue to keep your ever-loving arms around us, Father, as we depart from this place, Father, that you will keep us safe. Father, we ask at this time that you will forgive us of our sins, accept our thanks. We ask all these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.